Radio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling. Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore. OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, are y'all chilling for shit?
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a super special edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Welcome to those of you listening to us on UltimateSportsTalk.com, and if you're listening to us on Thursday night through WRWWrestling.net, we're hoping in the next 2 or 3 weeks you're going to be hearing us live on Tuesdays as well. Our number is 267-297-1397, where you can Skype Sir Rockin' at any point during this show. From now till 10 o'clock, you can call in and talk with former TNA wrestling star and the man who made his return to ROH Wrestling this past Sunday night, defeating the prodigy Mike Bennett despite his manager's major efforts to try to screw him over. The one, the only man who is breaking his silence for 100% truth. No, he's not going to just talk ROH. There is not a naked man in the living room. He had underwear on. My wife and my mother are watching Rare's Got Talent, and Jay Lethal is having a good laugh about it. So thank you for breaking your silence for real and being a part of our program.
Thanks for having me. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
No, okay. No, we can't hear you now.
No?
We can't hear you now.
They can't hear me. I can't hear myself. No, they can't hear me.
This is the first time we've had an actual live person, a live guest in the house that we do the show out of. And we're sitting here for a free show going like, okay, well, I can hear him through your headphones. And I'm like, but I can hear, Rock's like, oh crap, forget it. So don't forget, you can Skype Sir Rockin' at any point or dial 267-297-1397. The obvious first thing we gotta ask is, we're talking post ROH pay-per-view. Tell the fans a little bit of background. What led you to say yes to ROH after TNA and everything that we'll get into in a couple minutes?
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to say that I've heard a couple different interviews of myself, and I absolutely think that I sound completely boring. So to anybody watching, listening, I hope I don't put you to sleep with my monotone voice. Because sometimes I don't fluctuate the sound. I mean, sometimes I stay with one
Winston
tone. So I hope I don't put anybody to sleep. With that being said, what led me to say yes to doing Ring of Honor was it wasn't my choice to leave Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor was one of the only promotions that I truly loved being a part of. Plenty of times I'd be in the Ring of Honor locker room and I wasn't on the show. Of course, that'd be because we were in that whole Special K gimmick. For those of you who are familiar with that, it was about 20 cruiserweights, lightweights, all in the same group. It was pretty much, we don't know what to do with this guy. Let's put him in Special K.
Oh, God.
Times where I'd be on the show, but I wouldn't have anything to do. And still just being there, I loved every minute of it. So, like I said, I never left Ring of Honor because I wanted to. It was almost a contract-wise, I had to do what my boss told me, and I wasn't allowed to work for Ring of Honor. So, naturally, when my contract ceased to exist, I said yes to Ring of Honor again because I could.
Now, who was in charge of the actual pay-per-view event? Was it the Sinclair Media folks with Cornette and the ROH folks? Were there any Sinclair Media people at this event?
There were Sinclair Media people, but from what I got, this was the last Ring of Honor show before Sinclair fully took over. That's just the feeling that I got. I mean, I could be wrong. They could have taken over already. But the feeling that I got was, all right, this was the last show before Sinclair fully takes over. Let's show them exactly what they just bought. And damn it, that's what we did.
Was that your first time back in a ring at all? I mean, I know you've worked locally here in the Tampa Bay area for FUW, but it's got to be a way different experience to walk in a Hammerstein ballroom and go, holy crap, look at this place. No offense to FUW, but you're running in a bar.
Hey, I wrestled in a bar Sunday night. I don't want to hear anything about being in
okay.
a bar.
Well, I do like the smaller shows. There's more crowd fan interaction. I mean, you could say something as simple. Well, one of my favorites, there's this one wrestler, Josh Daniels, up in the Northeast. He doesn't curse too much, but, on the smaller shows, he has started singling out one person. He'll shout out a curse word to him and the place goes ape. They go bananas. But I know for a fact that it was a packed house like the Hammerstein Ballroom, he would barely be heard, and right. It wouldn't get quite the reaction that it did.
You said you wrestled, Alan said you wrestled for FEW, which I guess apparently runs in a bar.
Florida Underground Wrestling, yeah, that's what they're called.
Sunday night was the first time that I have ever wrestled in front of a bar crowd. And I think there's about 80 people there.
Ooh.
Yeah. For you, Jay, what's it like wrestling in front of a crowd like that? Do you notice any difference in how rowdy they are or the ability to get over as a heel or a face or is it just kind of one of those things where you're going to get over whatever way they want you to get over?
Well, the first thing you got to realize it is a bar, so most of the crowd is drunk out of their mind.
And that's not the locker room he's talking about.
So, I mean, it's a little easier to, portray a heel or a babyface because you tell a drunk person to shut up and they're ready to cut your throat. You know? So, I mean, also about the thing about the FUW shows is not many people realize, but I'm extremely close with everybody in the locker room. So not only is it a chance for me to stay in good ring shape, but I'm also getting to hang out with all my friends. So, to say that I'm more relaxed at an FUW show because it feels like I'm hanging out with my friends is an understatement because I don't really count it as working. I'm just hanging out with my friends, you know?
We got to take a trip back in time here for fans because it's amazing to realize. I've never realized how long I've known you from going to events, but when you first got contracted by TNA,
mm-hmm.
Can you take us through that negotiation? Who you actually dealt with? Was it Terry? Was it Dixie? Was it Jeff? Was it how did you actually say yes? As you said, you didn't want to leave ROH, but the deal with Spike TV and everything kind of made that happen. So take us through that if you can.
Right. I mean, to touch on that ROH thing real quick, though, I wasn't offered the contract and they didn't say, here, sign this, now you can't work for Ring of Honor anymore. It was once I signed the contract, that rule about not working for Ring of Honor, that came later because we were still doing a working agreement. I still did a few Ring of Honor shows while under contract Then something happened. I'm not quite sure what the story was. But all of a sudden, contracted guys weren't allowed to work for Ring of Honor. I think it was mainly due to them starting to get some kind of TV exposure or internet pay-per-views started. Or I'm not quite sure what the full story was on that. But I can tell you that the person who actually sat me down and handed me the contract was Terry Taylor. And from what I understand, I was the first person that Terry Taylor actually hired. From what I was told, that job wasn't Terry Taylor's job. It was somebody else's job. But the day that I was to be hired, they had given the job to Terry Taylor. So
he became the head of talent relations around the time you got hired.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was the first person that he hired, which was kind of cool. Because Terry Taylor's always been pretty cool to me for the most part. We like to bust each other's chops. But for the most part, we're really, really cool with each other. Terry's awesome. He's been nothing but good to me.
Yeah. What was it? Just it was the next step in your career. You had to go. That means you want to go to work for TNA?
I would definitely say I saw it as the next step in my career. I mean, at the time I was watching TNA on pay-per-views in my sister's bedroom with my sister because she would be asking me to order it, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah. So, I mean, I had a Ring of Honor show where I wrestled Samoa Joe. And at the time, Samoa Joe was a monster on television. You know, they were, mm-hmm. He was undefeated. He was burning through everybody. And I had just had this back-and-forth match at Ring of Honor with Samoa Joe. And I believe it was Jeremy Borash who gave me a call because he was there at the event, which I was told.
Oh, okay.
And he explained that he saw the match and he would want me to come in to he wanted to know if I would like to come in to have a tryout match to kind of do the same thing that he just saw, which not really. I mean, I should have realized that, you know, Samoa Joe's a monster. He's being pushed on TV. Now, I mean, a couple of my buddies, my wrestling buddies back at home, they kind of joked about, oh, well, maybe they didn't like you going back and forth with Samoa Joe too much, so wanted to bring you on TV.
Just so they to kill you.
Right. I don't think that was it at all, though. I mean, I honestly think that Jeremy Borash liked the match. I love the match. Anytime I step into the ring with Samoa Joe, it's always awesome. Mm-hmm. Which I haven't gotten to do it often, but every time that I have gotten to step into the ring with him, it's been one of my favorite matches.
Cool.
Yeah, so that was the match that actually got me a job.
Go ahead, Spud.
Sorry. He brought up Samoa Joe and ROH, and I want to bring this into this real quick. Because last night, like I said earlier, and Alan had to walk away from his computer when I said it, but our guest Jay Lethal aside, the promo that CM Punk did last night, the shoot, was quite possibly one of the best promos I have seen in a long time, next to the one that Jay did with Ric Flair last year.
Oh, you betcha.
That was a great promo. That was an absolutely fantastic promo. Both of them. But in that promo, he made reference to ROH and Colt Cabana. And Rock and I were talking about, what are they going to do with him? What are they going to do with Punk? And he's supposed to be taking some time off, and he may come back, he may not. And the thought was shot out between the Rock and I of, you know, they may be bringing in the Kings of Wrestling to WWE, which would be fantastic. Would you be interested in doing something like that if Vince came knocking on your door?
I would say yes, only because I can honestly say that anybody who was a professional wrestler that grew up in my generation, you became a professional wrestler because of one reason and one reason only, and that's the WWE. ECW was big, WCW was big, but I think I can honestly say for my generation, it was the WWE that made you want to become a professional wrestler. And why would you not want to get a chance to work for the company that created your love for this business? So I would have to say yes.
He is Jay Lethal on Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Gotta bring up, unfortunately, the passing of Randy Savage. You had written an eloquent thing that was put online. Take us through that actual thing of creating the Black Machismo character. Is that brought to you by Russo and Creative? Is that something you came up with? How did Black Machismo even come to be?
Well, from what I was told by Kevin Nash, like most great gimmicks or most great things that are done on television, they're no accident. These are things that actually occur in the locker room or in real life, which make it successful because it's not something that someone sat down and wrote on a piece of paper and said, this would be a good idea. It's no secret that in many of the locker rooms that I was a part of, I would do this Macho Man Randy Savage impression just to liven up the locker room, to get a good laugh out of the boys sometimes. And I used to think I made the mistake of doing it in front of Kevin Nash. But I made the smart decision, now I realize, to do it in front of Kevin Nash, who got me to do it on television. I mean, the whole thing, honestly, was Kevin Nash's idea. I mean, at the time, Jeff Jarrett had a major role in TNA. So, I mean, pretty much nothing went down without Jeff agreeing to it. But it was ultimately Kevin Nash's idea when he heard me do it. Because I don't know if you guys know, but Kevin Nash is the biggest jokester in the world. He is literally the funniest person that I know in the world. So there'd be plenty of times where we'd all be sitting in the locker room and Nash would be joking around. And when he starts joking, it just makes you want to joke and you want everybody to have a good time. And that's when I started doing the Randy Savage impression. And the first time he heard it, he said, I'm not kidding, you have to do that on television. And of course, I was reluctant because, you know, Savage lives in Florida.
Yeah, he lived in Tampa.
Yeah, he lived in Tampa, which was only about an hour and 10 minutes from Orlando. I'm sure an hour, because I imagine Savage was a good driver. Fast driver is what I mean. Mm. And I thought he'd show up and want to rip my head off.
Did you ever hear from him at all during the whole character?
Yes, I did. A man by the name of Ed Schumann, God rest his soul, he passed away as well. Ed Schumann was really good friends with the Macho Man Randy Savage, and he was good friends with Lanny Poffo. And he was the one who actually got me to get to speak with the Macho Man on the telephone. I've never met him face to face, but I've had about 3 telephone conversations with him.
What was that like? Was it just like, oh crap,
wait a minute, I'm talking to you, but you're talking to me, brother.
did you talk back to him like it did Flair? Did you talk to Savage on the phone?
Of course I did not. I was too nervous. I was too scared. I talked to him 3 times, but it only really feels like 1 time, only because the first conversation we had lasted about 5 minutes.
That's my phone. We'll let my phone with the Martin Solvig ringtone go.
What? No baby baby?
No, that's just these old ringtone for me. Get real. Tell your story. You're doing great.
I was saying about the first conversation I had with Savage on the telephone lasted about 5 minutes, and it was a 3-way call with Ed Schumann because I did not believe that it was really the Macho Man, so he was on the line. It was a 3-way call because he was trying to get me to believe that it was really the Macho Man, and I didn't believe it. The other 2 calls lasted maybe 2 minutes because when I finally got through to him and he picked up, he seemed really busy, and he had to I'm about to leave the house. So I was like,
here he goes.
I'll give you a call back a little later. And then and every time after that I tried to call, he didn't pick up. So I hope I didn't annoy him.
Do you think you offended him at all?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. He told me he loved the stuff. He didn't see it on television, but he did watch some of it on YouTube, and he actually got a kick out of it, and he liked it. I don't think I offended him. I think I was just annoying him from this fan is calling me. Because that's what I was. I'm a fan of the Macho Man. And I...
All right.
It's very weird to have a fan call you just to talk.
Now, to fast forward to the other imitation gimmick that you did with Flair.
Oh, God.
And
if he starts strutting around this room right now because of you, I'm hanging up.
And the woo-off, which
is still a favorite of ours on this show.
Yeah, that is – that was
– that was probably the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. Only because – I mean, you guys are pretty smart to the wrestling business. Most guys who go out to the ring with a microphone, they have already have bullet points of what they need to say, what they're going to say. Sometimes the whole thing has been written out for them. Ric Flair is a man where you can't give him bullet points and you can't write anything for him to say. He just goes out there and he does it.
He's looking at Russo going, shut up and sit down, you New Yorker. I got this. I'm Rick. I'm God. I'm God.
So therefore, I couldn't have any bullet points or I couldn't have anything written for me to say. Meanwhile, this is like my first time getting any mic time in TNA. So I didn't want to mess up. Oh, it was so nerve-wracking. And I had to feed off of what he was saying. And I remember right before we go out there, he looks at me. He goes, just follow me. And I wanted to pee my pants. I'm not kidding.
So the woo-off was an improv thing. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was.
When you guys got into the back, I mean, after all that was over, and the segment's done, you get into the back, and because we all do it, you know, after a promo that we have to cut with somebody or a match that we've just had, you know, you're sitting there talking. Well, I felt this, and this kind of felt right, but the crowd really didn't seem to pop for this. Did you guys have that moment where you went, I think we just made magic?
The actual moment was, because I got to the locker room first, and I remember being so nervous that my hands were numb, and I'm waiting for Flair to come back through the curtain, because I don't know what he thought of it. I don't know if he thought it was good. Before Flair came back, as I came through, everybody's applauding because they liked it. I'd figured they just thought it was funny, you know? But I remember when Flair came back through the curtain, he had the biggest smile I've ever seen in my life on any human being ever.
Wow.
And then I walked up to him and we hugged, and that's how I knew it was okay.
Is he someone that's approachable? Because you always hear stories that the younger talent doesn't want to approach the veterans in the locker room. Is someone like him or Hogan or anyone, are they approachable? If you got, you know, I'm stuck on something in my match, I'm stuck on my promo, can I, because you've got a decent talent agent basis there with Simon Diamond, Al Snow, and D'Lo Brown, but Ric Flair's sitting right there. Do you ever have that urge to sit to him and say, yo, Nate, can I borrow you for a second?
I was too nervous to do so.
Really?
Although, after a few of my matches, Flair put me aside and gave me advice, which I thought was unbelievable. But other than that, I definitely think that all of them, everybody you just mentioned, they're all approachable. I mean, Hogan, they want you to come up to them. They want you to ask them questions. They want you to get advice from them. I mean, I haven't met anybody yet who would be a little hesitant to that idea of someone coming up to them and getting advice. But yeah, as far as them being approachable, especially Flair, oh, I mean, I had heard stories from other people. I mean, not everybody meets, I mean, you just catch people on the wrong day and first impressions last forever.
Ask Bubba the Love Sponge when he ran Awesome Kong's fist.
But I
was mean, anybody in the back who just absolutely wasn't approachable, who wouldn't give you the time of day?
No. I can honestly say, no. I never ran into any situation like that. I mean, I'm trying to think, not even Dixie Carter. I mean, even the busiest person, I would say, the hardest person to actually stop and have a conversation with or ask advice would be Vince Russo. He's running around like a chicken with his head cut off the whole time. But I mean, there's never a, a moment where you try to stop him and he blows up at you, or like, no, I can't do this, or yada, yada, yada. But I mean, no, I mean, everybody is approachable. I've never ran into any situation like that.
Jay Lethal on Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. You brought up the name that every fan of TNA for the last, God, company's 9 years old. He's been there on and off since then. Loves to hate, but also you can't avoid him. Take us through when you're told, okay, tonight you're working whoever. You're working Chris Sabin. You're doing Ultimate X or something like that. Does it Russo that comes to you and says this is what's going on, or is it one of the booking agents that does that?
That is one of the booking agents. Because Vince Russo, he's producing backstage vignettes. I mean, he's got so much to do that he can't go up to each match. So, of course, there's a meeting where all the agents have with Vince Russo, and then once the meeting's over, each agent is assigned a match, you know.
Oh, okay.
So it's the agent who gets with you and tells you what we want to see on television, and they have to make sure everything's good. And Vince Russo's vision is what he sees is that's happening in the match. So yeah, that's definitely an agent's duty, I would say.
I feel bad for you.
Why?
I do. I just from watching the demise of WCW. And seeing what has gone on in TNA, for the past couple of years, as he is, you know, had an extremely prominent role, and you can tell, and then you have Hogan and Bischoff move in, you had a company who was built on guys like you and AJ Styles and Sabin and Petey Williams and. You know, they offered something that WWE didn't. It was the same with ECW back in the 90s. They offered something and a brand of it that nobody else did. And so you had this obscure company in TNA who came out of nowhere and had these great matches. I mean, Daniels versus Styles versus Joe will go down as probably one of the greatest matches in wrestling history. Because it was. And yet, when you get to the era that we're in now, you have so many obscure storylines and just they're going away from the guys like you who helped build what was there.
Like Samoa Joe getting kidnapped by ninjas and no answer to it.
Right. That's why I feel bad.
If I were a ninja, what size ninja would you need to kidnap a man the size of Samoa Joe?
That's what they never explained.
One from Japan wearing high heels.
Oh. But that was the kind of thing that irked me as someone who has seen, met you at other events, that I'm sitting there going, okay, this is the same cat who a couple years ago was doing Black Machismo with Jay Lethal that could go anywhere he wanted. They had the thing with Val and you had the thing with Sanjay that they could have ran with. And the ball got dropped. And then we just talked about Ric Flair, and you had that amazing promo, and you had maybe one or two matches, and then it just disappeared. We've talked about it. It's like we can't figure out if that's Russo having too many areas to go down, or is it a budgetary thing where they go, sorry, Jay, we can't afford to have you drive over from Tampa, not like they're flying you in. Is there any explanation given with either one of those two major storylines to why they died?
I can definitely tell you that it is a case of having so many wrestlers on the roster, but... It's one of those situations where we got so many guys, but not enough time. Or at least that's what I was told.
Do you think they should ever have had it? Because we've talked about it on here for a while. Yeah, WCW Thunder back in the 90s, and there was a rumor going around, oh, they're going to get a second show. And we're like, well, here's an idea. Fix your first show, too. Do you think that was something TNA would have needed? Because you have the explosion program, but it's just being shown overseas. It's not here in America. Would something like that have worked? Make Explosion a separate show? not a recap show, but an actual 1 hour show with just all matches?
Oh boy, I don't think that would have worked.
Really?
Really, I really don't. Only, and I mean, let's say, for instance, that the TNA did get this separate show. Let me ask you, what would this second show be about? What is the reason for this second show?
Was there a reason for SmackDown back in the day other than they wanted to go after the Thunder audience, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, I mean, I honestly think, and this is just me, that if you have two shows, I mean, they're still written by the same person.
Mm-hmm.
It's still run by the same company, so ultimately it's going to be the same show twice.
Okay.
So, I mean, I really don't think that would have worked for TNA. It would have been the same show twice. It would have been what they're doing now, just doubled. No? I mean, because it's not the same person. I mean,
let's say Russo stays with Impact. You had Ed Ferrara come back at one point because Ed had been there at the birth of TNA.
Right.
I think he was there catching the baby at one point. Let Ed go do this other show and split your roster in half because the X Division at certain points over the last few years, and you're one of the folks that was in there, and you're also one of the folks like Kazarian and AJ who can transition between heavyweight and X. You know, you guys got so lost in the shuffle. I guess that's kind of what you're saying too, is that for a while there, you were just lost. Cause I'd be seeing you at ASW events on Friday night going, hey, you're here. You're not on the road. No. Nope. Why not? No room on the roster. I was like, oh, Christ.
Well, I mean, if the second show was run by somebody else, if there was a different writer for it, but both writers would have meetings and they'd be on the same page at least, I think that would work. I think you're definitely on to something, but as far as the same person writing both shows, I think it would.
There you go, Spug. We got jobs. We'll go work for TNA. Yeah, when you hear stories of the stories that came out a while ago that Paul Heyman was rumored to have, took a meeting, which I hate that phrase. Eric Bischoff started that one. I took a meeting with someone. Well, where did you take it to? It's like, when there were stories going around and he recently came out and did an interview, would you have liked Paul Heyman to take the creative direction of TNA? Do you think Jay Lethal's character could have worked in the Paul Heyman environment? Because there was stories going around that he claimed that anybody over the age of 40 is getting their head chopped off. So that basically leaves you at 26 years old. The rest of the roster is looking, how old am I?
I heard that same interview. And right away, I'm thinking, well, if he does come work here, at least I have a job right off the back, and I won't get my head chopped off because I'm not over 40. But, I mean, I've heard nothing but great stories about Paul Heyman. But, you never really know a person until you meet him. So, I mean, before I ever saw him, and I still haven't seen him, and before I've ever met him, and I still haven't met him, all I know is what I've heard about him, and I heard he's an awesome guy, and I heard that given the chance, he could turn the company around, which is what I heard. And I believe it, just from what I've heard about him, the way people talk about him. I mean, my trainer is Mikey Whipwreck. I'm not sure if you know that, and Mike Whipwreck loves Paul Heyman. And
Just don't give him the checkbook.
That's what we've all said. Paulie can't be near the book unless there's someone behind him going, how many zeros you put in that checkbook?
Just don't give him the checkbook. I mean, seriously. Does it frustrate you when you look at TNA's, you know, Wrestling Matters campaign that they have going on right now, and they run a 2-hour show and 90 minutes of it is filler and talk, and maybe 30 minutes of it is wrestling?
If I were to watch it myself, then it wouldn't really bother me, but I don't really watch Impact on television anymore. Nowadays, my parents watch it. So whenever I talk to my parents, they'll tell me what happened. And it does bother me when my parents are pointing out that it's just, I don't know if we're going to keep watching this. It's just too much It's too much talking, yada, yada, yada. I mean, and this is from my parents.
Wow.
So, I mean, that kind of hurts a little bit from my...
I meant more of as someone who worked for the company, and when, you know, they were billing you to come back for Destination X in a couple of weeks. I mean, you heard the name, they were name dropping you like crazy. I mean,
they name dropped you before the Sacrifice pay-per-view. They had the thing with Kendrick and Jen Mi walking up to Russo.
Yeah, they were.
I immediately called him going like, what are you talking about? You didn't tell me any of this. Are you hiding crap?
I mean, they were name dropping you like crazy. And then, you know, you have Terry Taylor who gets fired, and you have all the subsequent fallout of what happened when you were let go from the company, and that Bischoff and Hogan didn't know and were extremely upset, and that was possibly leading to Taylor's firing. And yet, but as someone who worked for that company, and you see the direction it's heading, and where it was when you were there, which was better than it is now, does it frustrate you to go, you know, it was better when I was there? We didn't have that.
I would say, honestly, a little bit it does. What frustrates me the most, though, is, I mean, I know I could be a little biased because they're my best friends in the world, but you got guys like Sanjay Dutt who are home. You got guys like Amazing Red who are, they're not on TV that much. You got the Young Bucks and the Motor City Machine Guns. These are all personal friends of mine, and I feel that they're some of the best wrestlers that I know, some of the best wrestlers that I can honestly say, in my opinion, that I have ever seen. I mean, the things that Amazing Red can do if he's just given the chance to, if he's given the television time to.
Other than being Crimson's little brother, and now Crimson's getting the push.
Right. I mean, I when I saw that, I thought they were going to make them a tag team, which would have been awesome.
Yep.
Could you imagine that? Oh, the Red's just his, he's so innovative when it comes to certain things. And I could just picture I saw the wheels moving when they told him that Crimson was brought in to be his brother. And oh, I got excited, and I was like, you know, I kind of wish I was a tag team right now. But then, then they didn't do it. And then, oh, it was just so disheartening in our little social group. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Just watch the first ROH promo video. I forget the name of the song that they did it to, but it was an ROH promo video from a show. They had to have done it in the early, you know, the company couldn't have been in existence for that long. But Amazing Red's on there, and he's doing some crazy with Jerry Lynn was in the company at the time, and so was AJ. So, I mean, you had Amazing Red is a fantastic worker. But I want to ask you a question that we ask everybody.
Oh, okay. Lord, we in trouble. I got the lawyers on standby, so get ready.
You should have the lawyers. These are two questions. Now,
okay.
Now, normally, I like to peruse dating sites because it's funny to look at to people watch.
Okay.
And you see the standard questions of, if you were a fruit, what kind of fruit would you be? And yada yada. I'd like to change a little bit. Okay. If Black Machismo Jay Lethal was a pair of underwear, what type of underwear would Black Machismo be?
He's getting up and walking out of the room. Thanks, Buck.
Is he really?
No,
I'm kidding.
I'm a little confused by the question. Is it a brand of underwear or what kind of underwear?
Like, what kind of underwear? What kind? Like, would you be a thong? Would you be snug? I mean, what kind of underwear?
Okay, now do I get to pick if I'm a underwear for a male or female?
No one's ever asked that, but you win.
Absolutely.
No one's ever asked that.
Yes.
I'd be a woman's thong, no doubt about that.
I'm
Okay, before you ask question number two, I gotta ask something about his time in TNA wrestling. Now, you were around, as I said, you did Black Machismo, and you did the thing where Sanjay was the guru, and what was, of any interview promo that they ever had you do, it, not including Flair, because obviously Flair is top five in your life, okay. But was there a segment that they had you do that you're looking at the person you're doing it with going like, this is going to be money, or before the camera rolls, you're sitting there going, this is going to be the worst thing that ever happens to me, and I want it erased right now.
Oh, wow. Good question. I can think of only one vignette that we did that may have, I may have thought that it was going to be a little silly, but the thing that sticks out in my head that I immediately went, I really wish I didn't have to do this, was it wasn't a vignette. The vignette, though, that I was referring to that kind of had me a little iffy was we did my little bachelor party.
Oh, God.
In the pink taco. I mean, it was filled with so many jokes and so many innuendos, and that's the only thing that I enjoyed about it. I thought that on TV this may come off a little silly, though. But the only time I ever wished that I didn't have to do something was when TNA had a pay-per-view in Trenton, New Jersey, my backyard.
Oh, God, yeah.
I was going to have a bunch of my high schooler buddies come, and my whole family was going to be there, and I was feuding with Sanjay. And Sanjay and I had, we were like going into this pay-per-view, Sanjay, this is going to be our moment, and this is going to be our standout match. You know, we thought we were going to have possibly a ladder match or something. Sanjay and I were tossing out ideas. And of course, I could be just a negative Nancy because, you know, everybody wants to be the world champion, yada, 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 but that's not what it was about. When we got there, a couple of weeks leading up to the actual pay-per-view, we found out that it was a tuxedo match. Wasn't a tuxedo match, but we were chained to each other, so you could only get but so far apart from each other. And right away, we thought, Sanjay and I thought, oh man, this was our perfect opportunity to have, to steal the paper, because we knew, I mean, and that's one thing I picked up from Ric Flair, even though this is going back before I got to meet and step in the ring with Ric Flair, but I can apply this to back then. I did pick up this from Ric Flair, and that is every time you step foot out through that curtain or every time you step in the ring, if you do not believe to yourself in your head that you're the best at what you do and this match or this promo that you're about to take part in is going to be the greatest promo because you're involved in it, then nobody else will. Mm-hmm. I swear the weeks leading up to that pay-per-view, Sanjay and I knew for a fact we were going to steal the show if we were just chance to, but I don't think, and I'm pretty sure he didn't think that we were given the chance to, only because it was a tuxedo match, and we both had that was the only time I wished I didn't have to do something in TNA. Everything else after that, though, was, I didn't mind doing.
And now we get to ask the questions that no other show has gotten to ask and probably never will again. So if you're, you know, record this, enjoy it, play it over and over. People that are going to pay $5 to listen to other interviews, you're not paying to listen to us. I was driving to go pick my kids up when I got the thing that said, Jay Lethal released from TNA Wrestling. And I'm just like, what? This has got to be all work. So, of course, pull out my cell phone. Hey, Jay, what's going on? I got released. Yeah, no kidding. Can you? Okay, I'm talking to you as your friend, dude. What the hell happened? Take us through what happened. I mean, who calls you? Who makes that decision to say, thanks, Jay Lethal, your future endeavored?
Well, I mean, As far as who makes the decision, I don't know who ultimately made the decision, but I can only guess that, I mean, as the owner of a company, nothing happens without your say-so, so I can only speculate or imagine that it had to eventually or some form or another come from Dixie Carter herself. I mean, nothing, as an owner of a company or any kind of business, mm-hmm. nothing should happen without it going through you. So at some point in time, it had to go through her. So I think that that's where the decision came from.
So you don't think Jeff had a say? Do you think it's Jeff that's talking with her? Is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no clue. All I know is if you're the owner of a company, everything eventually at one point in time has to come through you. But I was called by head of talent relations, Terry Taylor. I was at a baseball game.
Oh, you were at the Trop when he called you? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
It was actually during an Impact taping, which I wasn't on. And part of me should have seen it coming because I had been off TV for 5 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, Jay Lethal, you messed up and now we're punishing you. Honestly, I do believe it was, hey, we don't really have anything for you. We kept you along this long getting paid, you know, but now it's time to make some cuts and clean up. Terry Taylor called me, and I can honestly say that this was the first, what can I say? How can I word this? This was my first taste of any kind of failure in the wrestling business at all. Wow. So I was completely shocked. I was blown away. I didn't know what to think. I wanted to pass out. I had to sit down. And I had about a 5-minute conversation with Terry Taylor, but all I could remember was the first minute of him telling me that unfortunately, due to reasons, the company has to let me go. That's the only thing I can remember, even though I know for a fact I talked to him for a good 5 minutes after that, asking questions and him informing me of this and that. Eventually, the first person I called was Sanjay because he had gone through the same thing and he's one of the best friends. And he actually got me to calm down and it's going to be okay, one of those situations. Because I just bought a house right away. Right. Oh, my God, what is going to happen? So Sanjay got me to calm down, and he was like, well, you need some more information. So I said, you're right. Let me call Terry Taylor back. And Terry Taylor is one of the coolest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And we had the same exact conversation. He totally understood. I said right away, I said, Terry, I'm sorry, but I'm going to need to have the exact same conversation with you that I had about a half an hour ago because I don't really remember any of it. And he kind of – and it's just the way that Terry Taylor is. He'll throw out a joke or two right away. Right. And it's pretty funny. When Terry Taylor got released, I
– oh, yeah. We all – I had a good chuckle. I was like, revenge! You fired my friend. Now I'm getting you.
When Terry Taylor got released, I tried to call him to see how he was because when I got released, he actually called me a couple times to see how I was doing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Terry Taylor's awesome. So I tried to call him, but he didn't pick up. He was on vacation or something. A permanent vacation, I guess.
He was
out with his family. So when he finally did give me a call back, I didn't pick up. I wasn't around my phone, and we were playing this phone tag game. And I remember listening to my voicemail, and it's like Terry Taylor, he does have this one-tone voice, you know, and it's Jay Lethal. This is Terry Taylor. I'm just giving you a call back. I didn't hear your voicemail yet, but I imagine it went something like this. Ha, 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 you got fired, too.
Holy crap.
Oh, man. Terry Taylor is, I have to say, Terry Taylor is amazing. You'll never meet, in the wrestling business, I can honestly say I'll never meet another Terry Taylor. He was one of the guys that no matter what, he told you the truth, which I'm sure got him in trouble.
Do you think, no, cause we can air this a little bit here. One of the first questions I asked you was Russo, Bischoff, or Hogan told about this? And you basically told me you didn't think they were.
I tell you the main reason why I didn't think Hulk Hogan knew about it. And then again, I could be wrong, but, every time we tie all everybody would ever tell me was all Hulk Hogan loves you. Hulk Hogan this, Hulk Hogan that. Hogan pulled me aside all the time. We share Macho Man stories. So maybe I got caught up in this whole Hulk Hogan is my friend kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe that's the reason why I think he didn't know. But it didn't strike me as, I just didn't think that he knew. And then I did read an interview where saying that he didn't know right away, right?
Wow, I believe that's what's going on.
Yeah.
If Dixie Carter or Jarrett or Bischoff or Hogan is on the phone with you tomorrow and they say, listen, we want you to come back into TNA. We want to bring you back into the X division, yada, yada. Are you going?
Well, before you go with that, let's talk about July 10th and a certain Austin Aries being somewhere. And I asked you about this after the sacrifice thing and said they're name dropping you and said, tell them about Destination X. Let's break the wall completely down while we're at it. I'm not asking you to burn your bridge to TNA wrestling, but you said we can ask you anything.
I don't really remember what you're talking about. You're going to have to refresh my memory.
Something about you and the Ultimate X at DX. Is that true? Or?
I remember what you're talking about. I was supposed to originally be a part of the Destination X pay-per-view coming up on July 10th. Originally, I was supposed to be a part of it. Even before I was released, I was supposed to be a part of it. And then after I was released, I was supposed to be a part of it. But then that kind of fell through.
When you're up in that thing, because I've interviewed tons of people, and I interviewed in separate conversations Frank Kazarian, Chris Sabin, and Matt Bentley, the former Michael Shane, about their initial trek into Ultimate X and how they did it in Nashville. And Kazarian goes up, and Kazarian's walking. Next thing you know, Kazarian standing dead center of the ring with the Ultimate X pinned in. When you're first told, okay, the object is to see that X, see that bell, you got to get it. Go get him, Tiger. Are you someone like Devon Dudley who's terrified of heights, or are you like heights, whatever? Let's.
Devon is terrified of heights, by the way.
I've met him enough. He's scared to death.
No, I'm not afraid of heights, but I do feel like I had a little bit of an advantage only because, you know, I wasn't with TNA when they first started, so I was able to see the first couple Ultimate X matches happen live in the comfort of my own home. So I kind of, ever since the first time I saw it, I've been able to come up with ideas and thinking about doing this and thinking about doing that. So by the time I was actually given the opportunity, I was gung-ho. I was all excited. I did think it was kind of funny, though. I did still have that picture of in my head. Do you remember when the X kept falling off? Do you remember
God.
That?
That was one of those. It's like, get better tape. Come on.
One of my favorite matches. That the finish was awesome. Where it falls right into Petey's hands. That was, I thought that worked out fantastic.
Well, that happened in an Ultimate X where the belt fell and Daniels was just like, hey, I'm the champ, cool.
The hardest part about coming up with those innovative matches is you gotta work out all the flaws before you can, I can honestly say though, now they got it down to a science.
Yeah. When they debuted, and I know you're against the clock here, but when they debuted on January 4th last year, and they told everybody, we're going to go head-to-head with WWE, as someone who may have watched the Monday Night Wars back in the day, what's Jay Lethal thinking? Are you sitting there going, are you guys nuts? Or, all right, I'm a company man. Bring it on. Let's do what we need to do. Bring in Jeff Hardy. Bring in Orlando Jordan. Bring in anyone on a dialysis machine, it seems like. No offense to the Nasty Boys who live here in Tampa and probably could come over and kick my ass next week.
And I still think and thought that it was a good idea. A lot of people thought it was a bad idea, bad decision, and hindsight is 20/20. But I think, even after knowing what I know now, I still think it was a good idea, only because in my household, it was my older brother who was the WCW fan. I didn't like WCW, really. It was my older brother. And the only reason that I tuned in to WCW was for this whole Monday Night Wars thing. Mm. So I felt that the whole Monday Night Wars thing, in my eyes, gave WCW a chance, for me at least. I was given WCW a chance only because, you know, I got to flip back and forth to see what's happened, who's got who. So I naturally thought it was going to be a great idea, and it was going to give everybody more exposure, and it was going to help TNA grow. So I was all for it, and I still am. I just, if it's, I don't know, maybe we just didn't, they didn't do something right.
Mm. You, being that you have wrestled with Nature Boy Ric Flair, and you've done all this stuff, is there anyone that's out there like a Jeff and Matt who were, many people would say when they were doing their stuff in WWE with Edge and Christian and the Ladders, they were pioneers of X Division, which, you know, is argumentative. Is there anyone that's on the roster of any of these promotions that you're sitting there going, before I hang up the boots, this is who I want to work? If you can give like 4 or 5 people.
Well, on a note for a fact, the top of the list is Chris Jericho. I'm a huge fan of Chris Jericho. Another person on the list, and I've done this list one time before, and I've only gotten to number two. Number two actually is Kofi Kingston, because I'm actually, some people are comparing me to him, and I watch his stuff, and I think he's awesome. He's got tons of charisma, and I just think it'd be cool to get in there with him. But 3 and 4, I would have to think about a little bit more, but I'm sure I can come up with a 3 and 4 before it's time to go. Let's see. Thinking.
Oh, Lord J. Roberts, would you have liked to have done Black Machismo? Because you're always dropping that little snake man's calling and all that kind of stuff, and I kept going, is Russo sitting somewhere going, Roberts, where the hell is he in my address book? I can't find him. Anybody know where Jake Roberts is? Follow the trail of coke. There he is.
Wow.
Would you have liked that? Would you have liked to square it off with him?
I would have squared off with Jake the Snake Roberts. I'm not
going to. Go through the Savage list. You got Ricky Steamboat you could have gone with. You could have gone with Honky, as you know, you talk about Honky and that kind of stuff, but I could just see that.
I would have definitely, now thinking about it, I would have definitely loved to get in there with Jake the Snake. The vignettes we could have done would have been amazing. And, you know, I would go so far as to say that if our program was going well enough, maybe I would have tossed out the idea of getting a devenomized and defanged snake and tied me up in the ropes. I could have saw that happening.
Mom and Dad aren't sitting there in New Jersey going, you know, calling you going, are you nuts? That's a snake. Are you crazy?
Oh, man.
I've been sitting there going, are you nuts? Now, before we, I know you're against the clock, but Spug has the greatest question that we get asked. We've asked BG James's question. We've asked Steve Corino, Kent King. We had some of the wildest tales here. So go ahead and Spug, ask. It's your second question that you always ask everybody. So go ahead and preface it for me.
There are so many great things that happen in a locker room or on the road.
The trailer to the movie.
There are. There's so many great things that happen there. And most of them pertain to ribs. So what is the greatest rib you have ever seen pulled, had pulled on you, or pulled on somebody else?
Now this, I feel, is where I'm lacking in the wrestling business, or the ribs are just slowly fizzling down. But I haven't seen many, but the one that I did see was pretty funny. I can't remember where I was. I wasn't in TNA, I know that. I hadn't even gotten to TNA yet. I know it was
Jersey All-Pro?
No, this wasn't Jersey All-Pro. I can remember because it was a locker room. No. I can't remember. I was in some locker room where somebody hid some poor dude's bag. They removed the ceiling tile and they put his bag up there in the ceiling, and then his belt was in the bag, and he was one of the champions, and it was one of the deals where the promoter, he keeps the belts, and then he'll only give it to you when you get to the show, and then he takes it back at the end of the show, really protective. And the promoter started flipping out because the kid couldn't find his belt. The kid was flipping out because he couldn't find his bag. Everybody in the locker room was laughing. I felt really bad for the kid, and I wanted to tell him so bad, hey, your bag's in the ceiling. And then somebody tried to call his cell phone because his cell phone was in his bag, and it turned into a whole big thing. But I mean, when it comes to ribs, I'm really lacking in that category.
Yeah.
Although I have heard some ones that I think I would get people in trouble for.
Oh, God.
I wish that I could have been in the room for some of them.
We can protect the innocent. Before you go, Spug brought up Jersey All-Pro, which was one of your stomping grounds. Florida mainstay Eric Cooper came out of that area as well. When you first heard that Fat Frank apparently is stepping away or shutting the thing down, depending on what story you read, what went through your mind? Did you just go, that's the end of an era in the Northeast?
No, only because I had only heard that. Are you talking about recent? Did that just happen?
I believe it happened a couple of months ago. They ran a show, and he's saying that he's taking time off type
thing. Well, okay, yeah, there you go. That's exactly what all I heard was time off. And this would be the first time that Jersey also took a little hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the wrestling business is not doing as well as it used to, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, no red flags went up. This didn't alarm me at all. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, they've taken hiatuses before and come back really strong.
And now, you are booked solid for the next couple months with indie dates. And do you want to mention tomorrow? Do we want to talk about... Oh,
sure,
okay.
Yeah. Tomorrow I got this All Wheels Wrestling thing that's
trying
to get kicked off the ground. It's a mix of NASCAR and every kind of racing with wrestling. It should be pretty cool. You should come down tomorrow. Check it out.
It'll work tomorrow, dude. I'm sorry. You're driving there tonight. I would hitch a ride with you. But when they first prefaced this to you that you're trying to bring this humongous NASCAR audience that's out there, I mean, they pack 100,000 in over at Daytona, and it's like, can I get that for a wrestling crowd, please? You know, you're a guy from Elizabeth, New Jersey. Are they expecting you to get in a car and drive, or have they laid out the foundation for what they're going to do after this pilot, supposedly?
Not really, but, I mean, for you to throw out that idea of me getting behind one of those cars would be fantastic. I'd love to do that. I mean, not one of the NASCAR. Not many people know, but I do watch a little bit of racing. I watch IndyCar. And I like IndyCar over NASCAR, especially because of IndyCar is much faster. Don't you tiss me.
Oh, forget IndyCar, NASCAR. If it doesn't go a quarter mile in a straight line at 300 miles an hour, I don't want to hear anything about it.
Well, we're getting pretty close. I mean, IndyCar's qualifying laps are at about 230, 240.
Fast.
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR is only 100 and what? Qualifying laps like 175, if that.
Amen.
You're from New Jersey, right?
I'm from New Jersey.
Have you ever made your way over to Englishtown?
Oh, that's where it is, Englishtown.
A few times I have, yes.
Oh. Okay. You can't tell. Now, my dad runs a nostalgia funny car. I've grown up around drag racing. Standing 10 feet away from the start line and seeing one of them big boys go off is burning nitro. You know, John Force and the list goes on and on. Those funny cars pull out so much torque and shake the ground so hard. I don't understand how anybody could like anything else. Like, Indy cars can't compare to that.
Well, I mean,
for me, anyway.
That's a matter of opinion, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, for me anyway. Look, I watched the Indy 500. I want to see Danica win a race, a legitimate race, not some little crappy one in Japan.
But she's huge in Japan, man.
They don't give a crap. There. She hasn't done any.
I believe married to her agent.
What's that?
I believe she's married to her agent. I'm not 100% sure.
Really?
Yep. She is, but she hasn't done anything.
And Jamie Lynn Sigler was married to her agent at one point too. Yeah, before I know I'm trying to wrap this, but I keep having questions pop in my head.
We'll have to have him come back.
Well, let me ask. I gotta ask this because he brought up New Jersey, and we're both Northeast people. When Sopranos was on the air, we asked this with when Alicia was here a couple weeks ago. We talked about the Jersey Shore and all that stuff. When people originally, you know, they find out, oh, you're from Jersey, do they bring up that stuff about, oh, what do you think of Jersey Shore, or Sopranos, or the Real Housewives crap? Do you feel like there's a stereotype of people here, you're from Jersey?
No, not for me, per se. I can understand Alicia. I mean, she is Italian, right?
Last we checked.
Yeah, and like that whole Sopranos thing, I mean, it's a whole Italian thing, and mm-hmm. Jersey Shore, and there's this thing about Jersey women, the Jersey girls, all. I mean, I can understand for her, but no, I don't get that too much for me.
Not yeah. Really. And my friend.
It's bring up Sopranos, and nobody, I don't know, little tip. I don't know if you want to write that down, but Sanjay Dutt is the biggest Sopranos fan that I have ever met.
He's a
fan of the Sopranos, this Italian family who used to live next door to me, who watched the Sopranos like it was their religion.
Wow.
We have to have Jay Lethal come back at some point. Yeah.
I can promise that I'll be back.
Yeah, we may try to get Sanjay. We're not sure. It's apparently a lot of coaxing to get Sanjay to commit because I've had him close and he's like, nah, no, can't. I'm like, oh, come on, Sanjay.
Tell him I'll give him a big hug.
Oh, we're going to have you go. You are a social networker. Go forth and give the Twitter info.
It is at the Lethal J. And that's spelled out. I mean, I've seen some people misspell lethal, so I'll just spell the whole thing. It is at @thelethaljay. Lethal J.
And thanks to MVP for tweeting it out that we had Jay on here. Coming up after the break, we will get into everything that happened on Monday Night Raw last night leading into their pay-per-view. We'll also talk some TNA wrestling as they head to Destination X. Jay Lethal's got to go. He's got to go pick up some people because he's driving to Orlando. So coming up after the break, we'll get into all that fun on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior commands you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columns today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Barry, Janice Michelle,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time,
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wickerman,
and some more.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the seventh moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio, and if you ain't down with that, I got two words for ya. Suck it!
Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, our friends at UltimateSportsTalk.com and WRWWrestling.net. Thanks to the Black Machismo himself, Jay Lethal, who is getting in a car and out ahead to Orlando for tomorrow's pilot taping of All Wheels Wrestling, which you can find actually on Facebook. And you can see him, Sanjay Dutt, I believe Sean Daivari is involved in this, and Aaron Jesus Aguilera. If you're a WWE fan, you may remember him as being Carlito's bodyguard dude who had the god-awful... He looked like he was wearing fishing wading pants back in the
Jesus?
Day. Jesus? Oh, man. I believe he's a part of this All Wheels thing they're doing tomorrow.
Huh.
And apparently it's a pilot, which I don't understand, because Jay was saying while he was having dinner, says they already have a deal apparently in place with the Speed Channel. We're not sure why the heck we're doing a pilot. But apparently they are. Rock played CM Punk's ROH farewell song. I had no idea because I was not a fan of the ROH back then. But I must say, if you're buying into this, that CM Punk will be exiting Night Train by Bouncing Souls. Okay. Casey Kasem in the top 20 countdown. Sorry. If you're buying into CM Punk is on his way out the door, raise your hands. Now put them all down and go find the spoilers from last night's second show that was taped at the Thomas Mack Center, because I believe they're going to Australia and other parts of the Far East.
I don't care what happened at the second show. I still think he's on his way out the door on the 17th.
Okay. Now, let it be known that yeah, I'm gonna, oh, they are going to Australia. Okay. Mace was talking about that a while back, that he said that TNA never comes here, but WWE seems to show up every so often.
But they'll never do a Raw or SmackDown from there.
Yeah, which I don't understand, because WCW did a couple of things from down there, and it played really well, but, you know, different time, different TV production. Before we get into Punk and the shoot interview in quotes that went on, are you a fan, Spug? Because we talked about this a bit last year, but I want to rehash it a bit. The Raw Roulette thing, is this something you're a fan of, or are you just sitting there going, more gimmicks, why?
I'm glad it wasn't 3 hours.
3 hour Raw Roulette, why not?
Yeah, no, I'm glad it wasn't 3 hours. I can get into it. I can kind of dig it. I like it. I think it adds an interesting, interesting flavor to the show. I was just happy that it wasn't 3 hours. That I'm so sick of 3 hour Raws that I really could just kind of puke.
Especially back to back the way they did them.
Back to back to back.
Yeah, pretty much. This show was quote unquote hosted by Shawn Michaels, who was pimping his, Shawn Michaels McMillan something that's going to be on Outdoor Network. And good for Shawn. He's finding stuff to do. This
McMillan River Adventures or something?
I think that's what it's called. If you watched his DVD that WWE put out a few years ago, you can see when he does his ministry work with his church, one of the things he does is he takes the kids out and they experience the outdoors of Texas. Good for you. Didn't preclude him from not one, not two, but three sweet chin musics during the evening. And if you're keeping track, that was both the World Tag Team Champions, yes, they still do exist, and Drew McIntyre, who got the sweet chin music to the face. Here's the matches that were on the show and how the Raw Roulette wheel supposedly picked them.
Oh, I'm going to buzz. Get quickly.
Okay, you had Punk. After he interrupted Shawn Michaels and Michaels took out the Nexus, you have Punk in a mystery opponent match. So, of course, he gets Kane.
He got Kane and he ran.
Yeah, well, he didn't run. He went and said, I don't need this. And as he was walking up the aisle, what did he say? What are you going to do to me? You going to fire me if I walk out on this match? You had two matches that took place, actually three of these matches, I believe, took place in the last couple weeks. Sin Cara defeated Evan Bourne. This was supposed to have taken place on the fans vote deal. You screwed up, WWE screwed up, you didn't. Everybody pushed the letter B a few too many times. We had Kelly going, I'm winning, yay! Proof that Kara can actually work with someone of his speed, because Evan Bourne, Matt Sydal, if you've seen him back in the day.
He was slow, though.
Yeah, they slowed down a little bit, but even for Evan, it was just like, whoa. Kofi Kingston defeated Dolph Ziggler in a match that was supposed to have taken place on Raw last week, which was Vicky
Guerrero. You asked me a question and you skip over it.
Okay, go ahead. Answer the question.
Yes, it's good, but the WWE just signed somebody from Mexico, from
another
CMLL,
one, yeah.
Inferno, something like that.
I can't remember his name. We talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, to come work with Sin Cara. He was Mystico's big rival in Mexico. So, you know what? You've got Daniels. You got Danielson, who he can work with well. You've got Evan Bourne. I think he would be able to work with Ziggler a little bit.
Is the end game him versus Rey at some point before Rey retires? Do you think Rey can keep up with him with all the knee injuries he's had?
I think it's going to be Rey and him at Mania.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the end game. Because they're going for a world record. They're going to go for a world record during that match. And so, yes, I think that is the end game. But I think you have to find competent people that he can work with other than Rey.
Gotcha. As mentioned, Kingston defeated Ziegler in a match of Vicky Guerrero banned. In the steel cage match, I can't believe I'm about to say this, Alberto Del Rio defeated the Big Show. Now, of course, he did it with help from Mark Henry, who not only pulled off the door, but then took out the Big Show by driving him through the cage and standing over him, yelling about, don't make me do this, or you tested me, or something. Okay, what did he do? Did he take your Subway sandwich backstage? What's going on there, big man? I mean, are we cringing?
Henry had one of the greatest lines when he was walking out. I don't know if you heard this, but he's walking out. You can hear the fans taunting him. You can hear a couple of fans taunting him, and I can't really make out what they say. But Henry looks and he points and he goes, and that's why you're over there and I'm over here. And I stood up at my computer and clapped. I did. I was like, thank you. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. That makes me happy to hear you put some smarks at ringside in their place.
Next on the card. We had Divas Champion Kelly Kelly versus Nicole Bella in, and of all things, you put these girls in a submission match. I don't think either one of them knows what it is. Yeah, Nikki tapped out to the Boston Crab. We had a DDP sighting. Very exciting to see. He mixed it up with Booker T, Drew McIntyre, and Shawn Michaels. In a match to... a tornado tag match with four members of the Money in the Bank match from Raw, which we'll address. You had Rey Mysterio and Alex Riley defeat The Miz and Jack Swagger. Before the epic shoot interview, in quotes, we had a tables match between R-Truth and your WWE champion John Cena. And yes, I believe this is a couple times in a row now this has happened. John Cena actually lost on Monday Night Raw, so mark it on your calendar. Of course, it was because CM Punk helped him and set up a spear into the table. And we're not going to play the audio. We don't have time for it because we're against the clock here as it is with so much stuff to do. Oh, do you want to play the audio, Rock? Do you want to entertain the audience with this, or is WWE going to come on me going, you're stealing our thunder by playing this promo now.
I have the verbal transcript.
Oh yeah, it's interesting. Paul Heyman immediately posted it up on his site. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those, now that I'm getting up at 5:30 for the new job, it's just like, okay, I'm DVRing this and I'll watch it tomorrow, and I purposely avoided everything. I avoided all of it. And
my
I watched
phone.
Monday Night Raw.
You know, I watched the end of Raw, and I was talking to Omega and Rock on Skype last night, like in separate chat windows, and we're sitting there watching Raw, and Rock and I are like, did you see that? Did he just say what I think he said? Holy shit, like through the whole promo. And I waited, and I called into WNL and was talking to them about it for a minute. And they were just, you know, they were all, oh, it's a work. It's a great setup for a storyline. And they were just being typical kind of, you know, internet wrestling radio talk show hosts that know everything. And just kind of not putting – well, no. Because I think the difference between us – and I mean you and I,
mm-hmm.
and Mace, when we get together and do this on Tuesday nights, as opposed to other times on this network and other networks, we have the ability to put things into a perspective and its proper place that nobody else does. And I think on WTR we do that to an extent, but mainly here on OW, we have an ability to put it into a perspective that it is extremely unique, because all three of us, myself, Mace, and you, are in the business one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Or well, have been in the business one way or another. So we right. know what goes into doing these things, and we know the type of, you know, the type of balls that it takes to do things like CM Punk did last night. And granted, that ran across the desk of Vinnie Mac before he went out there and said that. We all know that. But it is really nice that every once in a while, WWE gives us these nuggets and allows us the ability to kind of suspend the belief again.
Oh, absolutely. That was one of the first things I when Jay was sitting, we were sitting in pre-conversation before this, he immediately asked me, he's like, what's going on Monday Night Raw? Was that real? Was that not real? And I'm going to say it because I'm the same person when I said it with Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan and the tie. I 100% believe that was one of the greatest work shoot promos I have ever seen. Now, I'm only saying it because look back to his time in ROH. And I'm only doing this now thanks to some YouTubing and other endeavors that I borrowed DVDs recently
from
folks.
They did the same angle.
Yeah, pretty much. And not for nothing, but Second City Saints, you've got his Straight Edge Society. I'll buy into this, and you kind of brought it up with Jay, and you bring it up, and you probably brought it up on Wrestle Talk Radio, which is Sundays, 10 o'clock Eastern on this network. If he's burned out, okay, cool. I respect that. I will respect Phil Brooks, the person, for admitting to the creative, going, I've got nothing left. I've even done this Nexus thing that I may not have wanted to do. And I'm burned out. Look at Jericho. Jericho's come and gone a couple times in his career. If that's the situation, cool. And this is the way you're exiting him out, even better. But as you said, he is, if you had a list of the top five current people, not Rock, Austin, Hogan, Flair, whoever, of the top five current people in any promotion, CM Punk is in your top five for one of the best interview people of the modern era in the last, at least last 10 years. Cause some of his stuff in ROH was really good, but last night blew the roof off. And just to have them break that fourth wall, as he said, and then he's waving hi to Cole Cabana and mentioning ROH. I'm just like,
in New Japan.
Yeah. I'm going to go take the belt to New Japan, which had to be a nice little wave to
notice the two promotions that he mentioned have working deals with WWE.
Yeah.
Both New Japan and ROH have working talent swap deals with WWE. That's how, remember when the whole, the Matt Hardy thing happened with Edge and Lita, and Matt Hardy worked that show at ROH? They had the talent swap deal then.
Yeah, he worked Roderick Strong on one taping that Lenny Leonard had said that was the coolest thing he ever had to call was Roderick Strong versus Matt Hardy. So, I mean, and if you, I normally don't break the spoiler wall. I'm not going to break it fully, but I'm going to tell you, the listener, go to your local message board, either WRWWrestling.net or the people that abandoned me, the OWW Genesis. You can find the results from the second taping of Monday Night Raw that'll air on July 4th, and you'll understand why I am saying that this is a great worked shoot.
Oh, it was worked. You can tell it was worked from the beginning. I don't care. Everybody gets caught up. Oh, it's a work. You know, he'll be back. Yeah, I don't care. I could give two shits less that was a work last night. When I sat there and watched that promo, I wasn't Spug the independent wrestler. I wasn't Spug the wrestling radio talk show host trying to break it down. I was Drew Salzwimmer, the fan. I watched that promo in awe, in absolute awe of the craftsmanship and the attention to detail in the promo. I was in absolute awe. His execution was flawless. Absolutely flawless. And he made people buy in.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
He made He made people buy in. And yes, I got it yesterday too. I've cool. About halfway through it already.
I haven't even gotten a chance. I'm going to try tomorrow. Go ahead and say your thing. You're doing really great.
It's
the ability to suspend the belief. That's what they're going for. It almost goes back. Think back to, for fans, when Steve Austin walked out the night that he was told, you're going to wrestle Brock Lesnar with no thing on Monday Night Raw, and Steve said, I'm out of here. And Vince came out, and Jim Ross came out on WWE Confidential and aired the laundry completely. That's kind of what this felt like. And it was just like, wow, okay, they really cut his mic. And he sold it by, like, you sons of bitches, just turn my mic off.
What was great was he's looking into the camera and saying, you see, they're silencing me.
Yeah. Power to the people.
And the thing that made the whole thing great was going back a few months, with the dirt sheets that we have now on the internet, the all of the dirty laundry, so to speak, about his contract negotiations was being aired and being put out there. And so we knew, that he was not, not everything was kosher between him and the company. And so the stuff that he said last night were all legitimate gripes that he had. All legitimate beefs. And the thing that really got me, and I think this is where it went too far. And I think the cutting of the mic might have been a legitimate thing. Because when he went into the area about Vince McMahon,
mm-hmm.
and when he passes on that, his idiot daughter and doofy son-in-law are going to take over the company.
Yeah.
I think that maybe 90% of that promo Vince had said okay to, and that CM Punk, took it just a little bit too far.
Well, it's also a great effect to end your show with him, as you said, Punk sitting there going, they're silencing me. And it's a great thing because even if you're a dirt cheater or you're a message board person, you're now seeing the effects of it. Apparently, Johnny Ace was very upset. They apparently took his profile down completely from Monday Night, from WWE.com. However, Chavo Guerrero's still there, which we'll address in a moment. Sorokin is saying that they, in quotes, have come to an agreement that he will make all of his non-television dates, so all house shows CM Punk will be appearing at.
They took his music off iTunes, too.
Ah, so they are took his really music keeping down. It.
Yeah, they took his music down from iTunes. I tell you what. One of the great things to come out of last night, and I don't give a shit if Johnny Ace is pissed off. Fuck him. Sorry.
Johnny Laurinaitis was ticked off.
Yeah. If he was legitimately pissed off, I don't care. I really don't. But Rock and I were talking about this, and I think the more I thought about it today at work, the more it made a ton of sense. And there are individuals within the company right now, that in a couple of months they can put this angle together and it'll be really, really, really good because they can all work and they can all talk.
Oh, sure.
But we were talking about this, that Punk's supposed to be, that rumor has it that he's going to go away for a few months and take a few months off and recharge his batteries and, just go away for a little bit, which is a perfect time to get rid of the Nexus, break them all up, do whatever you're going to do with Atunga and McGillicuddy and whomever. It's a perfect time to break it all up. But when you have Punk come back, and you bring in the Kings of Wrestling because you have this Disney-fied PG, you know, wrestling product now, and then you have what Punk is, you know, and you have the, remember the Danielson promo from last summer, from Chikara Pro, where he said, I forget who he was wrestling because I just kicked him as hard as I could, and that was PG. You know, I just did this, and that was PG. If you have him bring in the Kings of Wrestling, you can have him with Danielson. You have Punk. You have Danielson. You could put Swagger in there.
Oh, sure. You can put a whole bunch of people into that type of setup.
Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. I could see an individual jumping ship from TNA to WWE for that. And he's big, and he's gonna kill you.
Well, they had a chance to get him a few years ago, too, man. That's known that Joe was offered. It's kind of like how Nigel
he was
McGinnis
offered
was in the situation.
He was given the Umaga gimmick. Vince wanted to make Joe Umaga, and Joe said no. Joe said no to it, and to be quite frank, 3 years later, what the hell was Joe doing in TNA?
Being kidnapped by ninjas.
Doing the Umaga gimmick. He was
close
Umaga.
To it, yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you just mentioned another one, Nigel McGuinness.
Sure, why not?
Nigel McGuinness is gone from TNA. Just go with me on this journey for 2 seconds, Alan.
Go for it.
I know you like to keep things real rigid and go in this nice little format that you have, but just venture with me down this primrose path for a couple of seconds.
Welcome to Storytime with Spug if you're new to our program.
Not story time. This is a hypothetical for you. You're sitting in front of your TV, we'll say mid-October. And you see vignettes start to pop up. Kind of like the Mysterious Undertaker ones. Not quite that blatant, but you know what I mean. And they start talking about this group of kings. And then right a couple weeks before Survivor Series, they start showing up on TV. And you have Punk, and you have Joe, and you have McGuinness, and you have Danielson. All four of them together. The four of those guys together. You're telling me that as a fan, as a wrestling fan, all four of them can talk and all four of them can work their ass off in the ring. Those might be four of the best wrestlers in the business today. You're telling me as a fan you're not compelled to watch that?
I'm compelled if Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli sign, because I've said for years that Chris Hero is one of the best. He was like CM Punk for the longest while, and like Homicide was, and certain others. They're the best people, including the person we just had as our guest. I always said, I've seen Jay work before. I never understood how some of these guys aren't signed. Now, I don't know if it's their personal preference that they're, I'm happy with what I do right now. I make good money at my regular 9-to-5-er. I've never understood how Hero has never been signed. Now, recently, he, like CM Punk did back in 2004-2005, Punk used to wrestle in the basketball pants that had the Pepsi logos and the X's on the side. Hero always wrestled in really long pants, and then a while back he switched to actual shorts, kind of like Homicide would wear. Now he's in wrestling tights, a la CM Punk. So maybe, I mean, there's rumors going around. They had a private tryout with WWE recently.
If they get signed, that's great. But if you look at Punk, if you look at this in the great broad spectrum, and you have Punk, and you have this golden WWE has this golden opportunity right in front of them to recapture some of the magic that they had in the 90s. And if you can't see it, and I'm being general here, so don't think I'm calling you, but if you can't see it, you're a moron.
least they may do, but they may do it right as opposed to TNA, you know, capture the 90s spirit without bringing back everybody from the 90s.
No, that's what I'm saying. But they have this golden opportunity in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have CM Punk, who for his entire career has been against everything that the WWE has stood for. You know, he is not Disney-fied. He is, I mean, he's PG to a point, but he's not, he's intelligent and wordy enough with his vocabulary that he can say things that are so insulting and such a manner that you have to stop and think about what he just said. You know,
it's
not the
rare.
Yeah, and it's very, it's not the promos of the 90s where it's Dwayne, you know, it's Rock or it's Stone Cold or it's whomever, you know, I hate you and I'm going to kick your ass. You know, it's they're very intelligent promos. And you have this opportunity that you could bring in guys that are different from the mold that you have and be extremely, extremely successful because you're going to bring in the fringe fans that you drove away in the early 2000s when the product got really stale. You're going to bring in those fans that watched TNA strictly for the X Division because those guys can work.
Yeah, Jackie Feist in our chat room is saying she agrees. We don't have to go back to Shane getting his nut shocked by a car battery by Kane, but we need the attitude back. This PG pussy stuff sucks. Even in the 80s, Jake slapped Elizabeth in the face. So that's one of those things that's been going for a while. As you know, she's not running for office anymore. Let's bring this stuff back. Unfortunately, they're going to be one person short, and that would be Chavo Guerrero. If you didn't see it, Chavo was Future Endeavored. He didn't hesitate to go right to the interwebs, the Twitter, and all that stuff, and he said the following, and I'm not going to read all of it, but this is some of what he said. Yes, it's true. My release is the big news that I was talking about. Let's get something straight. I asked for my release. I was just tired of not being used correctly. Just because you can make other people look good doesn't mean they should just have you lose to them. The same thing happened to Eddie. After being champ, they still had him working mid-card status. Being a Guerrero, we've been taught since diapers to get the most out of people and our matches. It is a gift, but it's also our curse. WWE has always used us to make other people look good. It comes down to being happy. I was not happy in WWE anymore. I had a smile on my face last night, though, when I got my release. And that's just, whoa, to hear that.
Hey, good on Chavo. Good on Chavito. Seriously. I agree with him. They had him putting Sin Cara over, and Sin Cara, quite frankly, didn't deserve it. You know, if you can't, there are, unfortunately he is gone, but there are three names that come to mind from that era that if you can't work with them, you're screwed. Malenko, well four, okay. Jericho, Malenko, Benoit, Guerrero. If you can't work with any one of the four of those names, you have no business being in the ring.
I believe it, sure. We actually got, since we're so social networking, holy crap, somebody posted on Twitter, the name is, and I just lost it.
Robbie.
Yeah, ROBI 2184 said at Wild Talk Radio, CM Punk, Kings of Wrestling, Daniel and Bourne will be a thick stable, an interfering cult cabana, at Money in the Bank would be sick. Do we really need Cabana?
No.
No. Don't want Cole. They already had, and Scotty didn't do.
Scotty didn't know.
He'll podcast about it at a later date. But, I mean, and of course the first things that jump off. And this is just crazy that this is the way it is now. As soon as his release came up, I have people emailing me going, so are you starting a 90-day clock for Chavo? And I'm like, 90-day to do what? I can't imagine Chavo going to TNA. I could see him go as a holy crap surprise if Lucha Libre USA ever gets back on MTV2. I could see him as a holy crap surprise for the debut of Ring of Honor, which I believe is September 24th, they were saying in the press conference. I could be wrong on that date.
What channel is that going to be on?
They're going to be all over the place through the Sinclair Media Group. If you go to ROHWrestling.com, you can find out. I believe it's supposed to be on Saturday. I'm getting them here in Tampa. I don't remember, Rock, if you can find the clipping, let's Bug know if he's going to be able to see ROH TV. I know the New York market is not. I was very surprised to see that Sinclair does not have a outlet in New York at all.
That's kind of amazing. Whoa. That's like the home of ROH.
Pretty much.
You know, here's something interesting. You look at the two things going on right now. You had Chavo's release, and you have this Punk promo that's taken on a life of its own. And Chavo is an individual who knows how to work and knows how to toe the company line. I mean, for Christ's sakes, he was in a slop match.
The dude rode out to the ring with a fake woody horse at one point in his life.
Pepe! I wish they
would bring
Pepe.
So I don't want to...
I wish for spite he would have brought Pepe back.
I don't even know. I haven't gotten through all three discs of the WCW setup yet, so I don't know if Pepe's on there. Before we go to TNA Wrestling, I had brought this up to Sorokin earlier because I marked out for a second when I said, hey, DDP's you're promoting. This is pretty cool. And I wanted to bring this up. I think it'd make a great topic on WrestleTalk Radio at a later date, but I want to bring it up now. Since WCW has gone under, and 10 years ago, and if you don't believe us, go to our archives and click Wrestle or iTunes, and you can listen to our interview with Scott Hudson and our attempt at one with Buff Bagwell. You've had the rise and fall of WCW DVD. You had two Ric Flair solo DVDs. Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen DVD. And I wanted to ask you this and ask the chat room, and if any of you want to call in, go right ahead to 267-297-1397 or Skype Sorokin. There were stories going back at that point, I think Shawn Michaels talked about it, McFoley's talked about it, that during the Monday Night Wars, and I think Hulk Hogan just talking about it in the book that I was reading of him. I may get the wife's book. I don't know. That WWE was very, very close to being gone. That Ted was
Vince
outspending him. Yeah. That
Vince
Ted
admitted
was
it on the Rise and Fall of WCW DVD.
But I want to ask this for you and anyone else, because I brought this up to Sorokin, and he was like, yeah, stop doing that, because you're making me think, and I don't want to do that during the middle of the day. If WCW won the war and is sitting here right now, and we're talking about WCW Monday Nitro and what happened on WCW Thunder, and Bischoff's still over there, Bischoff's still running things, Russo is possibly still writing, God knows who is writing. Do we have a rise and fall of WWE DVD? Do we have the best of WWE Monday Night Raw? Do you think Turner and all them would do that?
No, but I also don't think that WCW is still around at this point.
You think they still would have caved and gone into the ocean?
Mm-hmm. I think if WWE loses the Monday Night War and and gets bought out by Turner, the inevitable buyout by AOL still happens. You know, the buyout of Turner Broadcasting still happens. And AOL wanted nothing to do with wrestling. And you got to remember, when the buyout happened, WCW was still fairly successful, but they wanted nothing to do with wrestling. They'd have gotten rid of it anyway, because at that point, it's just programming. It's just programming. Doesn't matter how successful that promotion is. It's programming. They'd have gotten rid of it anyway. So I don't think WCW is around at that point. I think at this point in time, we're talking about another promotion. You know, maybe it's ROH, maybe TNA. I don't know. But there's another top promotion on the block, and we are thinking of WCW and WWE as relics of the past still.
It was just something that popped in my head, and I said, I don't know. Curious. Whoa, okay, Roby 2184 chiming in, Mike. We are seeing the ECW versus WWF wars on Monday Night all over again this time. ROH versus WWE, the feud will help ROH get on. Well, yeah, they're, Sinclair Media's got a lot of money there, Robbie. They've got networks all over the place. This isn't like ECW. You know, ECW was syndicated out too back in the day. I think in New York you had to watch them at like 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning back in the day. I think that was way down here at Sunshine Network.
11 o'clock on the Cat on Friday nights here in Cleveland.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so, I mean, who knows? Before we wrap up tonight, we had talked a bit about TNA wrestling with Jay Lethal, so we're going to talk a little bit about what happened this past Thursday night. Well, you don't have to say anything. You can sit there and give me you can say you hate my face, Steve Corino style, and we'll appreciate that.
I don't hate your face. I just hate talking to you.
You don't have to talk it. You'll have to talk about one thing only regarding TNA wrestling. So for the fans that did not watch TNA Impact, well, actually, there's two things. The first thing is I want to know is, did the ghost of Heath Ledger rise and his spirit enter Steve Borden? Because if you're watching that opening promo that Sting does with Eric Bischoff, that's the first thing that pops into my head. I said, okay, did he watch The Dark Knight before he walked out to the ring? And what the crap? Oh, he's talking and doing facial tics, and his paint's a little bit messed up, and I believe in the next couple impacts that you'll see. I know they taped last night. They're taping tonight that apparently it's another transformation of the Stinger. So good for you. We had a couple matches in this Bound for Glory series. In the epic match of the decade, Bully Ray defeated Scott Steiner.
Was it a barn burner?
I just sat there going, wow. So it's like watching Ultimate Warrior and Hercules Hernandez back in the day. I didn't know where to turn. You had ODB and Miss Jackie, who are not under contract, as they're saying, defeat Velvet Sky and Miss Tessmacher in another match in the Bound for Glory series, and they're apparently doing this in tags, and they're doing this at house shows too. So if you're at a live event for TNA, you could possibly see someone earn some points. Crimson and Matt Morgan defeated Beer Money. The non-title match, since Matt Morgan got the pin, he got the points. We had AJ Styles in a promo set up a match with Christopher Daniels that may still turn into Joe versus Styles versus Daniels. I hope it does, because hey, they did it pretty good a couple years ago, and they really blew it away.
It's not turning into that.
It won't, no. And so it's definitely Styles and Daniels.
And then it's Joe and Kazarian.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh, that's according to the preview trailer they put up for Bound for this.
Oh, the Before the Glory or Before the Bell type stuff?
Yeah.
That is the god of internet radio, Sir Rockin', chiming in there. Don't you all wish you had him as your producer?
Only the best do.
Yeah. Then how'd I end up with you?
I wonder.
I inherited a Jew in the divorce, I know.
Yeah, you did.
We had three debuts on the program. One of them is a former guest, and that would be Shima Zion, who appeared as Zima Ion. I immediately teased him through Facebook. Zima? Really? Did you get the drink, dude? I mean, do they still make Zima? He defeated Ariel and Dakota Darso. Yes, that is Barry Darso, Demolition Smash's son. Pretty good character. I kind of liked it. We had a holy crap moment when Rob Van Dam was talking about the X Division, when who the heck walks in but, well, his opponent, most likely at Destination X. We tried this a year ago. There was supposed to be the Hardcore Justice match. But we're going to get Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam. Winner defeated the Knockouts champion, Mickey James, in a non-title deal. So it'll be a match probably on the July 14th show, which they seem to be promoting just as much as the pay-per-view where you make money.
It's like they did with Hardcore Justice. They promoted this Thursday afterwards.
Don't mind the pay-per-view, it's okay. No, I have not been sniffing white out, Jackie. Thank you so much
for that joke. Whatever you say,
it's all sealed up, dude. I think they were snorting it a little bit when... I'm still trying to figure this one out. So Sting wrestles Abyss. Abyss goes outside, gets the coal miner barbed-wired glove, as if the coal miner glove wasn't enough. You know, that was enough back in the day for a match. Good gimmick match. Sting ends up losing via DQ when he punches him out with the glove. And Anderson gets involved. And Spud can take his fingers out of his ears. If you're keeping track in this Bound for Glory series, Matt Morgan is your leader right now with 14. AJ, RVD, Gunner, Scott Steiner, Bully Ray, and Bobby Roode all have 7. Storm, Pope, Crimson, Devon, and Joe have 0. We'll do soccer scores later on, but I move to another TNA item that came across, and this has been something that Spug, Mace, everyone on WrestleTalk Radio have talked about, and it's getting out of Universal Studios. It's one of the things we've always said, get out, you've got to get out, get out of there, please, if not, you know, all together, at least do like you did where you took it to the Carolinas a few weeks ago. On his Twitter, and I don't know if he was sober or not, Hulk Hogan is claiming that the Impact tapings will be held on the road every other taping starting in August. As known, they currently tape in Universal Studios Soundstage 21 since June of 2004. Now, for fans that have never attended a TNA event at Universal Studios, it's not an additional admission to your theme park ticket, which right now racks in, I can't believe I'm about to say this, $85 plus tax for an adult. And that's anyone age 10 and up is having to chunk down $85 to go to Universal Studios or Island Adventure or any of the 4 Disney parks. So, guess how much money TNA is getting from being in the Impact Zone from your fans? That's right, nothing, unless they're buying your merchandise. Now, I think TNA, I'm not 100% sure on the deal, but I always was told by people in Universal that there was some sort of financial gain for TNA being there. I don't know how it works. Is this something that interests you, Spug? Are you like, thank God they're finally listening to us, or are you, this is too little too late?
Depends on where they start booking shows.
Okay, well, look, you're their road person. Where would you take their events? Would you go to, where do you go?
You're gonna go to places like the Jar in Akron, which is like a 3,000 seat arena. You're gonna go to, the Nutter Center.
You can go to Hammerstein Ballroom. You've run events up there.
Go to the Hammerstein Ballroom. You're going to go to small venues that seat no more than 5,000 people. No more. because you're not going to get that many. I mean, you're not going to get 5,000 people to a TNA event, but you're also not going to take them to armories and bingo halls.
They're not going to follow the FCW route where they basically run in it. Thanks to Mr. Kern having ties in the military from his dad being a POW, he can walk into National Guard Armory and they'll go, "We love you. You're running." And I long for the day, and I've said it many a time. I used to be a TNA apologist for when I covered them.
You're still a little bit of a TNA apologist.
When TNA is running a building the size of Madison Square Garden, or they're doing WrestleMania-like thing in Atlanta, then they're real competition to WWE. And I get the baby step thing, but this is 9 years that they've been around, man.
Listen, the Cleveland Browns have been back since 1999. Do you know how many playoff games they've been in?
I'm going to vote none.
Zero. No, I think that one. They've been in one. In 12 years, they've been in one playoff game. And it's all because of bad to no management. Okay? And that's the same problem with TNA. When Mike Holmgren came into Cleveland, he ripped everything apart and restructured everything. And somebody,
Paul Heyman and David Lagana, if you're listening, please call Dixie Carter.
Somebody needs to come in and rip TNA apart, Impact Wrestling apart, and start it at the ground floor, brick one, and say, we're going to do it this way. And when you go to the small venues and you build your name, they went to, I think it was about a 7,000-seat arena in Cincinnati for lockdown, mm-hmm. and they were giving tickets away in front of the arena before the show to fill the seats.
And that's crazy.
This is how far that product has fallen. I guarantee you ROH could have gone into that building and sold it out.
Well, look what they did in Harrison Ballroom this past Sunday, and that was for an pay-per-view at 4 o'clock on a Sunday, and Jay said it. That crowd was crazy. At the end of his match, he was sitting there, and he pounded on the R, and they went, "R," and he said, wait a minute, let's see what happens if I hit the O. And he hit the O, and they went nuts. And it's just, I want this company to succeed, and I think ROH getting the Sinclair deal may be another smack to the head of these folks to go, okay, so how long has Russo been in power? 9 years. 9 years. Oh my God. It's like, at some point, I don't wish ill will to Vince Russo, but dude, I'm available. I live 70 miles away. I'm willing to drive to Orlando and help you out.
At some point, the squeaky wheel will always get the grease. And you and I both know this. And listen, Bischoff is no filter to run Vince Russo through. And you and I both know this.
Oh, of course.
And neither is Hogan. And you really just kind of have to wipe that all out and get rid of it. You have to cut the fat away. And really start at the basic building blocks. And this Sinclair Media deal with ROH, I think, may be a slap in the face to TNA to get them to realize that they are going to soon be the number three company. They're going to be a glorified indie promotion with a television deal. And ROH has been around for about the same amount of time as TNA, maybe a little bit shorter. And they are a promotion that is on the rise. They consistently sell out 2,000 and 3,000 seat venues when they go there. Not that they go there all that often, but when they go there, they do sell them out. You were talking about a promotion that if they consistently move up, and Vince has admitted that he has kind of the same working deal with ROH that he had with Paul. You know, give him a little bit of money for a little bit of talent here and there. And I think that as ROH slowly climbs up the ladder, you're going to see TNA fall further and further and further and further behind. Mm. And I would not be surprised is if one day you flick on the TV or you sign on to the interwebs and you see a thing for ROH coming to Spike TV on Thursdays. And TNA is nowhere, and TNA is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, why not? I'm all for it. We've had a wonderful evening here tonight, and I know I'm about to end the show like in the middle of the half hour, but it's like, why not keep going? Because, well, we ran out of material. I'm sorry.
How did we run out of material?
We did.
We got a pay-per-view coming up in what, a week? 2 weeks?
2 weeks. We'll worry about that next week.
We're good, Spug. We covered it all.
Yeah, we had Jay Lethal for an hour.
Wish could have had him longer.
Top that, bitches.
Anyway, as you were saying, Alan.
Yeah, thank you for coming into your chat room and pubbing
website. No, Alan, you're wrong.
I'm wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
You're wrong.
I'm always wrong.
You're always wrong.
I don't see anything on the chat room.
You're not in the chat room anymore.
I've been in the chat room.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody for stopping by, including Jackie Feist, who I'll be working on a podcast through the history of WWE.com in the coming weeks. We're still working out the kinks with that. As mentioned, this is a great network to be a part of. I'm not alone on it, and I do this each and every week, so I'll bow to my other colleagues.
I have no idea what the hell we're doing tomorrow. Move on.
Okay, OTL is 9 p.m. on Wednesday nights. This Saturday, I believe, is UFC 132, which give the fans real quick what happened this past Sunday. It was supposed to be a Nate Marquardt event.
Last Saturday.
No, it was last Sunday.
It was Sunday after
when
the ROH pay-per-view.
Yes. Oh, it was Saturday. Right.
No, it was Sunday. It's Sunday at 9 o'clock.
I didn't watch. I didn't see it because I thought it was on Saturday.
Well, apparently he got medically removed from that event. I believe he failed a test of some kind. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Give the card
for this Saturday.
Not even you, Wojcik, could screw this card up. You've got the California kid, Uriah Faber, taking on Dominic Cruz for the UFC Bantamweight Championship, which is the main fight. It's the main event. You have the axe murderer, Wanderlei Silva, taking on Chris Lieben. Tito Ortiz, the Huntington Beach bad boy, is making his debut.
Return of returns.
Making his return back to the octagon against Ryan Darth Bader. And then there was another big matchup this weekend, too. But those are the three... Those are the three big fights on the card this weekend. And I really kind of can't wait for the Wanderlei Silva fight. Like that fight, like watching Wanderlei Silva fight is like watching a lamb be led to the slaughter. If you get a chance, Alan, go to YouTube and try and find like a Wanderlei Silva highlight clip. Ugh. He has a very, they call him the axe murderer for a reason, because he does a high axe kick, kind of Booker T-like, but it's a heel kick. And when he brings it straight down, I've seen him knock guys cold out with it.
Wow. Jackie Feist in a chat room says, wow, the axe murderer, that's as bad as Mankind the Mauler.
The axe murderer, Wanderlei Silva.
Yeah, you're not going to ever see in UFC, you know, John the Sandwich Maker, La Bonson. You're never going to see that.
Not
it's always
true, Boss Rutan's nickname is El Guapo.
Really?
Yes. Boss Rutan's nickname is El Guapo, which means the handsome one.
Well, now, once you're done being entertained by Spug Mace and possibly myself, depending on my schedule for the week, I don't know the rest of it. There is the one and only CB Radio, which is hosted by the Godfather himself, Rob Parks, plus Sir Rockin, plus our friend Subway, plus whoever else decides to show up. You got a outline of what you'd like to do this Saturday, Rock?
No, but we will have something. We will probably talk, 4th of July stuff. We'll probably talk the weird and wacky and dumb criminals and, I don't know. We always find a goofy list or two to mock and take a look at. So check the archive CB Radio on wildtalkradio.com, and we'll see you midnight-ish on Saturday night.
All right, this Sunday, 10 o'clock Eastern, Wrestle Talk Radio, hosted by the one and only Tim Stein, along with Omega and Mace, maybe Spug.
No, it's Tim, Spug, and Omega this Saturday.
Is it still the opening round of the great debate of the most influential female personality, or did you guys already move on?
We did the first half of the first round that we had it change on the fly because someone didn't remember they got the message on Skype. Spug. But we went through the list, and we have some interesting matchups this Sunday night. So tune in 10 p.m. Eastern for that.
Yeah, and if you are a regular listener to us, thank you for joining us. If you're brand new because Jay Lethal is here, thank you for stopping by. On the next couple weeks, we're working, I believe on paper, the date is July 12th, that famed superstar, I can call him a legend, and I'm going to do it, that the Kevin Sullivan, the Taskmaster, the Games Master, whatever the heck nickname you want to give him.
Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah, the former leader of that, the man who used to be with the Abunadeen in a championship wrestling from Florida, Kevin Sullivan, James Subius, and the director of the film, Tim, whose name I can't remember right now, I apologize. The film is called Cards Subject to Change. It is another indie doc in the world of pro wrestling that looks, just from the paperwork that showed up that both of us received, I'm looking at this thing going, okay, this is different. I just got 6 pages worth of stuff, and I haven't even opened the DVD yet. So they were in the works. It is possibly July 12th. Don't forget, BG James will be back, revolving around a show that's based in Nashville. I believe it's August 22nd is the date of that show. Lakeisha Oliver Redai may have given me the wrong date, but BG James is out there. As you heard earlier, Jay Lethal will definitely be back. And no, I didn't cook. My mother did because I didn't want to kill him. I knew he was going to this All Wheels Wrestling thing. And I'm like, great, just what I want to do to explain to the folks at Speed.
You killed
what did
him.
You do to one of our stars? I put him in the Tampa General. Woohoo!
While we're plugging stuff, Alan, as we heard during the show, you can tweet along with us during the show at twitter.com/wildtalkradio, and we will read your tweets live on the air like we did tonight.
Yeah, is the Mario thing going on right now that Mace is fan of?
It's over.
They ended already? Damn.
Yeah.
It's 4 days, dude. It goes for 4 days. They raised over $100,000.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
That is wonderful. I want to thank Tim Stein.
I want to say 1 year OTL donated $20 to that.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, got to thank Tim Stein and Sorokin from the Wild Talk Radio Network, our new friends at WRWWrestling.net. I believe it's in 3 weeks. Possibly we're going to be live Tuesday nights on that network. You also got UltimateSportsTalk.com, who are our new friends here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're growing, thanks. Bitches.
Yeah, watch out, Huns.
We're coming to get you, brother.
This show really is growing. I'm really proud to be a part of it.
Yep. Thanks to Jay Lethal for taking time out of his day with us. Archive of the show will be up as soon as possible, and you'll all drool because I beat you to them. I'm Alan Wojcik. I may not be on 24/7, but I'm better than you, bitches. Have a good night.